Hello, hello. Here we are again, coming to you from Broadcasting Mouth on 44 different platforms around the world. And we're going to have some fun again tonight because I have a great guest with us, one that has looked into the universe and find some of the questions and answers that we want to know about. And my name is Agi, and I'm the host tonight. My co-host, Nari, is busy on a project, and she can't be there with us, but we will catch her probably next time. Anyway, I also want to give a shout-out to the people over at Conscious Awakening Network. Go visit those guys, because they got close to 50 shows on that platform, and we are also streaming live over there. And those shows, they are all the things that we need to know about. So go visit them at, that is at theconsciousawakeningnetwork.org. Theconsciousawakeningnetwork.org. And well, if you're watching on YouTube, that's the place to be, because that's where we can watch the chat room, and you can comment in there and you can talk to each other, and we may be able to answer some of your questions. And that's the place to be, because a lot of the other platforms, they don't have chat rooms, or there's just even voice, so it's hard to say what's going on over there. And also, if you want to get a hold of Nari and myself, go to broadcastteamalpha.com and send us a message from there. There's a contact place. Send us a message and we'll get the message and we'll get back to you. And also, I wanted to let you know that Nari and I have created a spiritual think tank that we do incredible things with. It seems like we're creating out of seemingly nothing sometimes. It just shows up. And that could be healings, that could be monetary gains, windfalls. When people are in trouble, they get themselves out of trouble. So things happen that normally science cannot explain. So if you want to be part of that, send us an email to themastermindconnection@gmail.com, and we'll send you some information and a link to come and join us and have a look. And now I want to introduce the guest to you. We have Aaron Kuhn with us. And for those of you that want to, you know, surf the internet while you are listening, here's a website where you can see him. And that is journeytotruth.online. Journeytotruth.online. And you'll find him there. And also, if you want to look at the books that he's got out, go to Amazon and put his name in there and it'll come up. And I wanted to talk about maybe just a little bit about that last book that he's got out in the very beginning. And then we're going to get into some really interesting things. Now, Aaron is an author, and the last book is called Walking to the Infinite Universe. It's on Amazon, and he's also a podcaster and a researcher and a co-host on Journey to Truth podcast. He was a devout Christian until he was about 25, when he started researching in alternative documents and books by David Icke, Jordan Maxwell, Dolores Cannon, Greg Braden, and others. And that's usually what happens when you start following and reading what these people have talked about. Things happen. We wake up. And that's why we will have a little fun tonight, because we're going to talk about what is all this stuff that we see around us. What are we? Is all these things around us and how we fit into it, is that just a holographically projected computer program that we are playing in? Well, we're going to find out a little more about that, because there is actually a science behind all this. But when it comes to those questions, I'm really interested in finding out who's sitting at the computer. That would be a good one. So, hey, welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Augie. It's great to be here. It's a pleasure. Yeah, thank you.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Yeah.
When I looked at at Amazon, I looked at the write-ups that people did on it, and also what's in the book. I looked at that and I said, man, he sounds like me. So I want you to talk. I want to talk about this book just for a little bit before we get into the meat of the universe.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, hey, did I write this book or did he write
this? Yeah, there we go.
Because I have your book, by the way, and it's phenomenal. And, you know, I wasn't like trying to emulate your book at all or anything. But then when I went and looked at your book after I had written that whole description, I was like, oh, man, that your book is very similar to my book. I had that thought, too, actually. So, yeah, I think we're very... You know, we have a very similar thought process, you know.
We got a few things in common.
A lot of things in common, for sure. So, my new book I just released barely over a week ago. It's called Waking to the Infinite Universe. It's available on Amazon. And, so I'll just read real quick the back of the book, which talks about what it's about. So, this book's the journey of discovering the truth of life and the universe. Are we alone in the universe? Are extraterrestrials and UFOs real? Do other dimensions exist? Are there beings in other dimensions? Are we more than just a physical body? What happens after we die? Is there a divine intelligence behind our reality? Is the universe conscious? Are we all one and connected to everything? Are our inner world and outer world connected? Is a great shift happening on the planet? Is there a control system attempting to keep humanity and these truths suppressed? So essentially, the book is an attempt at exploring and answering all of those questions, and it's all in there. But you can only put so much in one book, so I do the best I can, and I go deeper into certain topics than others. I try to cover, you know, I try to show how it all connects and the general nature of reality and how it all fits in, how those pieces all fit in. So.
And that tells me that there needs to be another one.
Yeah, exactly. There will be another one. Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to ask you first, I mentioned in the introduction here that what is this thing around us? We have heard about the simulation, and there are scientists coming out now and saying that the numbers and the equations that we see on the blackboard using the formulas of quantum mechanics show us that there is a 93% chance that we are in a simulation. Now, that's heavy. That's a heavy number.
Yeah.
What do you think? What is this thing and how did it come about?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So the universe... Well, let's start with, go back to all the ancient texts, right? And what do so many of them talk about? The universe is an illusion. What we see is an illusion, you know, Brahman, Maya, you know, you got basically all the ancients talked about a greater reality beyond what our five senses can perceive and beyond this physical reality, right? So there's that. And then also the universe appears to be holographic, fractal and holographic in nature. And that's, you got as above, so below, as within, so without, right? That whole, so it appears that everything that you can perceive on the smallest level will be mirrored on the biggest level, the micro and the macro. And then there's the whole you know, law of attraction and manifestation, like the universe being conscious and we're affecting it with our consciousness. And, you know, it's like whatever you hold within you is going to be mirrored externally to you. But then it's like, it appears to be externally, but is there really an external? Because what, you know, it's like you start getting into all these deeper questions of like, well, what is reality? Like in the Matrix, when Morpheus says, is reality simply what you can perceive with your mind? What you can touch, smell, taste, see, and hear? Is that all reality is, or is it something more, you know? Because your brain is a interpreter of reality. It's a receiver. So your brain is receiving information and data and then interpreting it, and then that's forming the image in your mind. That's forming what you're sensing. But that can be changed, right? And this is proven with like hypnotists and different people, and with, you know, many of the ancients who were able to do these superhuman things, and yogis and stuff. Like, you can change reality because ultimately it's an illusion. And like you just said, our own modern science is now proving and showing that there is no physical reality. It's all, you know, it's energy, it's vibrating energy, but it also appears to be a simulation. So
yeah,
it appears to be some kind of basically like a type of computer simulation. So it's like, okay, well then what actually exists? The experience is real. I am talking to you right now. We're having this experience, but what do you define as real? You know, at the end of the day, it's like, if when I die, am I going to experience a greater reality, that this reality, you know, that's what many near-death experiencers talk about. This reality, they say it's like they woke up from a dream. But you don't know that until you wake up. Like when you're dreaming, you generally, unless you're lucid dreaming, you don't know that you're dreaming, right? You in that moment think that is reality until you wake up from a dream, right? Well, it's the same thing with this life. Whenever we die and then we're like, oh my God, that was just like a dream I was having, that the real me was having, right?
Hopefully a good dream.
Hopefully it's, well, that's just it. And then you realize you are in control of whether it's a good dream or a bad dream. And, you know, we're kind of taught the opposite by society. We're taught everything is out of our control. We're a victim. Things are just happening randomly and we have no power, right? Well, it's the exact opposite. You start realizing that, wait a second, we have all of the power essentially. We just have to wake up to that and tap into it.
Yeah.
And then we can change this dream from a nightmare or a bad one to an amazing one.
Yeah.
But going back to the simulation, you know, don't want to get off track. Our modern science even is starting to see, they're saying that it seems like there is a code. They're seeing like this code underlying reality. And the quantum physics is starting to show like there's this underlying computer like code and energetic structure to reality that seems to be conscious, and our consciousness seems to be able to affect it and interact.
Yeah. And the thing about what you just said there, that is the real thing, because there is this physicist, he's called James Gates. He says that when we look deep in the equations explaining the fabric of space, we find computer language. We didn't put it there, but it just shows up. And if there's computer language in the fabric of space, there's got to be a computer somewhere.
Right.
So then again, who's sitting at the computer?
Right. Or maybe it's not even a physical, because we think of a computer as being a physical object.
Yeah.
It could be something else entirely. It might not be physical at all, but it's still operating the same way as a.
It's a similar to a computer, but it's a consciousness computer. And the only way in it can express itself in the physical reality is using what is familiar to us, and that is computer language.
Exactly. And yeah, so essentially our physical body is like a computer within the greater computer, right? So yeah. Our body is a computer, is a smaller computer within the greater computer that can be programmed. What is our DNA if it's not programming, right? That's what our DNA is, like antennas that's picking up the, you know, consciousness energy, but it's depending on what's turned on and off. That's the programs of the computer, you know, and you can switch those on and off, and that's what's going to determine what you experience. And there's, you know, there was a hypnotist who, you know, I can't remember his name, but it's in the book, The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot, which is an amazing book, by the way. If you haven't read it, I highly suggest everyone read that book. And in that book, he talks about a hypnotist who proved that you can program somebody and what they see will change, including seeing through physical matter. So he took a watch and he put it, you probably heard this, he put it behind, it was his daughter, if I remember correctly, and there was an inscription on the back of the watch behind his daughter, and the man could not only see the watch, but he read the tiny inscription on the back of the watch that was behind his daughter, because the hypnotist was able to put that programming in his mind. So it changed what his mind was decoding. So his mind stopped decoding his daughter, and it decoded what was behind only. Mm-hmm. So physical matter is not what we think. There is no solidity. It's just being decoded as solidity, but you can change that. And, you know, everything we see is just energy vibrating at different rates, essentially. And it's just programs. It's, you know, it's, think of a video game or a computer game. It's like a 3D world one. It's like everything looks very solid, right? And you're bumping into stuff, but all you got to do is go into the programming and change it, and all that changes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all just programming that's producing an illusion. Well, why isn't physical reality, why would it be any different, right? Especially what we just talked about. So that's this, it's the same thing. It's just it's like a really realistic virtual reality game that we're living. Yeah. So like I'm playing the character Aaron Kuhn, you're playing Augie Nost. Like,
yeah.
But the real us is not that. This is just like an avatar that we're currently experiencing. The real us is somewhere much greater, is the consciousness that this body is picking up on. And I formed a personality and I have a name and, you know, everything else.
Yeah.
And
what you're talking about, though, that the hypnotist that you were talking about, I'm a hypnotist too, and I'll tell you that is real. If you can get them down into deep theta brainwave pattern, you can all alter the reality in them and around them.
Yeah.
And it sounds so ridiculous. You can have them. You can actually tell them that there's a can of beer sitting on the table in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They will see that can of beer. And then you tell them to drink it. And they will drink it. And they will feel the can in their hand.
Yeah.
The cold. They feel the cold can.
There was one where they were holding an onion and he told him it was an apple and he took a bite out of the onion. And he's like, oh yeah, that's great. It's like he was tasting an apple. He was seeing an apple, like you just said, like completely changed his experience. Yeah. That's how it works. So
that is the amazing stuff that can happen by hypnosis. In fact, my co-host Nori here does something that I haven't seen anybody else do. And that is, take people, put them down into a hypnotic state, and then take them forward in time to meet themselves and have a discussion with themselves. Maybe ask advice because hopefully you're a little smarter, you know, 2 years from now than you are today.
Right, right.
This is very possible, and it sounds ridiculous, but it does happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
that
then
goes right back to the artificially created reality that we think we are living in, because she creates a new reality with you in it, in two places, in the future.
Yeah.
And you're living that reality at the time.
Yep. And we're experiencing space and time, or it's actually all one thing, space-time.
Yeah.
And we think, you know, we're having that experience, but it's just an experience. It's kind of like a program. So space doesn't exist and time doesn't exist. We're decoding it and we're experiencing it, but it actually ultimately doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And this is why you can time travel. You can, you know, travel very faster than the speed of light. And that's why ETs and different star civilizations, you know, that are at a certain level of advancement are constantly time traveling and doing things that we think is impossible because we haven't reached that level of advancement yet. Well, there's hidden things that that's a whole other story, you know, hidden from most of the public, the world, but that's a different topic. And then you look at what like Einstein said, reality is an illusion, albeit a persistent one.
Yeah.
You know, he said spooky action at a distance with quantum physics. Quantum physics proves, I mean, that it's like, wait a second. They did an experiment. Here, let me look. I wrote about this in my book. So they did an experiment where they had a particle and they.
Is it a photon?
I believe it was a photon.
Yeah.
If I can find it here. Yeah. So, well, there's the double slit experiment, which I talk about, which proves, the wave particle duality, where nothing, you know, until you perceive something, it exists as a field of possibility until you lock it in. So there you go, computer program, because a computer, you know, the computer program is not, all the data on the disk or on the whole program, but it's only decoding a tiny bit at a time. Well, there you go. I mean, the double slit experiment proves that that's what's going on here.
Yeah, because by the time the photons, one by one, make it through the double slits, if you observe it, it acts in one way. If you don't observe it, it acts different.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, here we go. So this is what I was trying to find. So there was an experiment done at the University of Geneva in 1997. They took a single photon, broke it into two separate photons, and then they put each photon put both photons into a chamber and had fiber optic cables that sent each photon 7 miles away in opposite directions. So they were 14 miles apart.
Yeah.
And they would manipulate one of those photons, and at the exact same time they manipulated one of the photons, the other photon would do the exact same thing with zero time lag, instantaneously. It would whatever they manipulated it to do, the other one would do. So they were quantumly entangled, and that proves that, you know, there's a lot more going on here than
They were still connected, even though they were 14 miles apart. And I know the naysayers will say, yeah, sure, you know, how do they get message? That takes a little time. No, they used atomic clocks to time it. And that was down to 1/1,000,000,000th of a second accuracy.
Right.
So
it was exactly the same time. Right. 14 miles apart. So
that proves it too. But let's go. You know, we talked about time travel. And how do we do that? If we are here now, how do we go to a different time, or we go to a different location? If we step out of the physical where time and space is not the same, we can move backwards and forwards and then jump back into the physical again. But that goes back to what is outside of the physical? Is that where ghosts exist?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Because physical, the third dimension, the five sense physical reality, is only one plane of existence. But what if there's more than just one plane of existence, right?
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, and I think there's a lot to back this up, there are many, many levels, many planes of existence. And there's obviously, we all hear about the astral plane, right? So people have out of body experiences, astral travel. That's what, you know, a lot of times near death experiencers start out on the astral. They start out having just like an out of body experience, and then they go either through the tunnel of light or they go to other, you know, crazy places. And then they come back. But ghosts are essentially disembodied spirits of that, some, you know, a person or really any being. It's essentially, so we have a physical body, but we also have an astral body. We all have this. And the astral body is, while we're alive, is tied, is like anchored into our physical body. But when we die, that breaks and then it goes and leaves the physical body. Now, a ghost, in my opinion, is an earthbound spirit, you know, one that hasn't crossed over, so to speak, that for various reasons, if the death was very traumatic, they had a lot of fear, suffering in their life, pain, sadness, depression. What are those? Those are all very low vibrational energetic states, right? So what does that do? Those are very dense, you could say, energetic states. That ties you down to the earth plane, especially when there's a lot of like religious programming sometimes, or guilt. Any kind of like programming or energy that basically the spirit either is too afraid or doesn't want to cross over and go to the higher planes, or they're just trapped in those energies and they just like, they need help, you know, like they're kind of like stuck. So that, in my opinion, that's what usually creates a ghost, is that someone dies and is in that one of those states. And that's where you get things like hauntings and things like scary, you know, scary hauntings, because you have these spirits that are in a really bad place that you're going and like they're going to start interacting with you, you know.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, sometimes it's like a residue, I think, sometimes, rather than a full spirit. And that's where you see these spirits, these ghosts that kind of are playing this like loop over and over again, right? Well, in my opinion, that's almost like an energetic imprint, that like part of the energy of that person is still here on Earth, that is like playing out this loop from their life. There's various reasons for that. But in my opinion, most ghosts are just earthbound spirits, astral, energetic, you could call that the energy body of that person that gets stuck on the earth plane. You can cross them over. There's many people that do this work. I know my good friend Laura Van Tine crosses over spirits all the time. She does this constantly, helps them cross over. So
now, in my experience, is that a lot of the, most of them are probably earthbound spirits, but those are the spirits of people that had no or very little spiritual knowledge beforehand. They walk around their physical life, all their life, knowing that when I die, there is nothing. Well, then blackness, they die, nothing. And they say, wait a minute, where's my V8? I'm wrong. Now what do I do? These are the atheists that has no spiritual knowledge. They don't know what to do. So when the astral traveler get out there and they see you, they come, they ask questions, they want to know, they're needy. And I would say in the beginning, if you start practicing astral travel, don't mess with them, because they are so needy, they will follow you home sometimes. And you
attached
can end up
to you.
Yeah, they do. And yeah. That not necessarily good. You can educate them. You can tell them, hey, you don't belong here. Go on home. Find a light. Or use the spiritual telephone. Think of your mom and tell her to come and get you. If she has passed on. And very often, your mom will get the call. And somebody will come and get you and take you where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You hear about a lot of the, so there's, you know, it's like newer souls, I guess you could say, that haven't had a lot of lifetimes to where, you know, they, like you said, they are kind of like lost. They're newbies. They haven't matured enough to realize like, oh, this is just one lifetime and I'm going to have many more and I'm not this body and you go elsewhere, you know, when you die and it's like they get lost in the incarnation. So they think, like you said, they're in this incarnation. They think they are their body. They don't think there's anything outside of this one life experience. And or they think it's like heaven or hell or whatever the religion teaches and that's it. But generally in that case, like they'll experience something similar to what they're expecting to experience, like a heaven or a hell reality, because that's what their vibration is at. And that's what they're expecting. So that's what they're being pulled into, that like whatever realm or experience that their belief system is set at. But when the ones that are more like, they don't believe anything, like you said, they're just lost completely, like, and then they die. They're like, wait, you mean I wasn't just that body? Like, I'm something greater and I'm still alive? Like, and they don't know what to do. Like you said, they turn into like an earthbound spirit and they go around trying to attach to people and, you know, try to get help any way they can, basically, like you said. So, but they end up like parasiting off of other beings because that's all they know how to do, you know?
Right.
But you can help them. You can help them, but generally it's like, you know, it's you can either avoid them or you can try to help them, but you have to know what you're doing, obviously.
I would say don't try to help them unless you really know what you're doing. You've been
you
out
really
got to
know.
What you're
doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are things you don't want to do and there are things you can do safely, especially protect yourself in a bubble of light and stuff like that. But I got another question for you. We hear this all the time on different shows. We are all one.
Yes.
Okay. Now you're
what
sitting,
does that mean?
You're sitting over there. I'm sitting over here. We are somewhere around 2,500 miles apart.
Yeah.
And we look different, talk different, are different, but we are one. How can we be one?
Right. Well, here's how. Let me phrase it as a question first. What if I am not this body? What if you are not that body? What if you are something greater? What if I'm something greater? And what if at a certain level, we're the same stuff. We're made of the same thing, you know? So that is how we're all one, in my opinion. Just as a wave is a part of a great ocean, and there seems to be all these separate waves, but are they separate? Because they're all part of the same ocean. They're just temporary manifestations coming out of the ocean. But then they go back into, you know, flat, and there goes the wave. But wait, where did the wave go? It was the ocean all along, just having this temporary wave. Well, that's what you and I are right now. We're the same oneness, which in my opinion, and this is what all, you know, basically all the ancients said and believed, is that we're all God or infinite consciousness that's temporarily having an experience of physicality as a human being. And we're kind of like all having an experience in the mind of God, you could say. And we've never left. So you've never left heaven, you could say. You're there right now. You've never left the mind of God. You've never left. You are God, essentially. You could say you're a child of God. That's one way to put it. But you're made of the same stuff. We're all made of that same God energy that's infinite, eternal, and time and space is a manifestation coming from that, but it's not, time and space is not the ultimate reality. There's a, it's an experience that that one consciousness is having, and it has it through separate points of awareness, because it, how else can you have an experience if there has to be different points of awareness to experience the different aspects of God, you could say, the aspects of all that is, which is all that you can possibly imagine and everything you can't even imagine.
Yeah. Right?
So I think, it's infinite.
I think Angie in the chat room has it right. You and me, Luke, in speaking in scientific language now, you and me are different particles, but we are part of the same wave. She says we are all source.
Yeah.
So we are part of the source that puts us together as one, but we have an expression looking like we are different with different consciousness separation between the two of us.
Exactly. Exactly. And what seems like empty space between us isn't empty at all. And everything, and there, and the field, you hear people call it the field or the divine matrix, as Greg Braden calls it, or Indra's net in the ancient Buddhist texts, or, you know, all these things, they're all describing the same field, God field matrix, whatever term you want to call it, that encompasses everything. And it's all, everything is manifesting from that field. But it's not, there's no disconnection. It's all, we're all connected within that field. So that means anything you do to one part of the field is going to affect the whole. So anything I do to you is actually, I'm doing it to myself, essentially. And that's why karma exists. That's why karma exists, because you can't affect something else without it affecting you, because you are a part of, just like, okay, if we're both in a swimming pool and I poison just one, I'm just going to poison this one area of the pool, you know, it's going to poison the whole thing. Like, and then you drink part of that water. Oh, it's okay, because it was way over there that I put the poison in.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's all connected. It poisons the whole thing, right? So that's how karma works. And that's how everything affects everything else. We're all affecting everyone, each other, and we're all affecting everything around us in various ways. And that's why just by you being here on this planet, you don't even have to do anything. Your energy just being here is affecting the whole planet, right? And then everyone you come in contact with, we have then our auric field, the torus field of localized energy that is then even further, more strongly affecting, more rapidly, you could say, affecting the people around us. So what do you think the whole like 6 feet apart thing was with the whole plandemic, you know, recently? Yeah. Why, you think they just randomly came up with that number, 6 feet apart? No. You know why they came up with that? Because that's generally how far our field extends outside of us, our auric field.
Yeah.
And they wanted everyone to be separate, so we're not, you know, they got to slow down the ascension and the awakening, right? They're like, 6 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And don't go outside. Don't get out in the sun and nature. Like, they told you everything wrong to do, basically, for your health.
You Angie mentioned source.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same thing, in your opinion, as people call God?
Yes. Yeah. Different term, same thing. And this is where, you know, the word God has been, obviously it's used by religions, especially Christianity, and it's been bastardized, in my opinion. And depending on who you talk to, that word means a completely different thing. And many people think God is basically a person who's judgmental somewhere in the sky sometimes, that's going to punish you for doing the wrong things. And it's, he's just like this super judgmental.
Yeah. Especially
with a big gray beard. Yeah.
Especially those 10 things. Oh, he get really pissed.
Yeah.
If you
break one of those 10 things, that he told you not to, then
you're going downstairs in the basement, you're going next to the furnace. Right.
Right. You're going to go to the, that really hot place for a long time.
The word God has been totally misrepresented and misunderstood, because the source of the word God comes out of the Sumerian tablets. It was in the Sumerian language, God, that means great leader. So when the Anunnaki told the people they made, we are your God, they said, we are your great leader. Great leader. So I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. Great leaders, I can understand, but not something I should crawl on my hands and knees and
figure that is judging you. Right. Exactly. And then you look at, so, you know, Yeshua, which is what his real name was, not Jesus, but you know him as Jesus. There was Joshua. No J. There's no Josh. J in the Hebrew language, so his name couldn't have been Jesus.
Yeah,
but, you know, you can call
him Halachme.
Yes, there you go. So, you know, his teachings have been distorted and bastardized. You know, in my opinion, my research and everything I know, he did not teach that he was a savior. He did not teach that you're going to go to some place for all eternity if you don't believe in him or believe the right things or do the right things. No, that's all, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, when Rome kind of like usurped the Christian movement because it was a threat, they had to like, okay, we got all these pagans, and we got these Christians that are a threat. We got to create our own church. So we're going to call it the Catholic, which means universal. That's what Catholic means. We're going to create the universal church that everyone has to, you know, everyone has to do. So, all right, let's decide now what goes into the Bible. So the Council of Nicaea we hear about, you know, they basically pick and chose what books that they wanted to include in the Bible. Well, what do they leave out? The Book of Thomas, Mary Magdalene, Enoch, Judas, all the books that had, when you look at what's in those books, it's all the really empowering information about your divine nature, that you are God, basically. Is what it's saying. And even, you know, some stuff slipped through the cracks that you read even in our modern day Bible. And there's mistranslations, you know, in it, but there's some stuff that you can see where Jesus says, do you not know your gods? He's saying, you are right, gods.
Right there in John 70 something. You can read that right in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he's saying, you will do these things and greater. He's saying everything you're seeing me do, you can do these things. You have those abilities and you will even do greater things. He's saying you're the same as me. He's not saying, hey, I'm on this pedestal and you need to worship me and you're just this lowly sinner that, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe in me. No, that was not his message at all. Yeah. And you can do your research on that. And I challenge you to do that. And if you truly do that, you will find that was not his message. Even the word hell is even a mistranslation in the Bible. It's not even what we're taught it means, is not even what any of the words that get translated as hell meant. And I talk about that in my book. Even God, the word God gets mistranslated, like Elohim, which should be translated closer to the shining ones. Yeah. Or it's a plural word that means plural beings, and somehow it gets translated as God. That doesn't make any sense. Well, to me, it sounds a lot more like extraterrestrials or higher dimensional beings that came from the heavens to Earth, made man in their image. And, you know, you could say, oh, well, they're talking about the Anunnaki. I mean, clearly they're talking about extraterrestrials, in my opinion, with Elohim. And hell, it's like, yeah, there are hell realms, but you're only going to experience that if you're a match to that frequency. So the teaching shouldn't be believe in a savior external to you to save you from hell. It should be you're your own savior, and you need to raise your frequency so that you will experience a match to whatever your frequency is at. So if you're staying in these low vibrational, if you're depressed and angry and hatred and, you know, all these low vibrational states, well, guess what you're a match to? You're a match to that, right? So you're going to experience more things to be angry about, more things to be depressed about, more things to be afraid of, because that's what your frequency, that's what you're putting out into the quantum field, so to speak. And that's what's going to be mirrored back to you. Because the universe is a giant, it's basically a giant like computer simulation, like we talked about. You could think of it as a giant self-aware, almost like a video game or game where it's like you're going to keep going through the same level if you don't get the lesson, right? You're going to keep experiencing the same things or whatever you're a match to, because that's what you need to wake you up to get it, right? And to learn that lesson. And Dolores Cannon talked about this. She's like, whatever, you know, lesson you need to learn, the universe is going to keep giving you that lesson until you get it and learn the lesson. You're not getting, there's no bypassing, there's no spiritual bypassing your way to enlightenment or to some greater reality. Like, you know, a lot of people, it's like they're living this physical life, but all they want to do is escape this physical life their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you didn't come here to escape here. That doesn't make any sense. You came here for a reason. Your soul chose to be here, in my opinion. You chose to be, you wanted to be here. And there's a reason for that, and it's for your own growth, and it's for you helping others, serving others as well. And you're not going to be able to bypass your way out of that, like some magic formula, or like, oh, if I just go through these motions and do this and that, then I can just escape here and I don't have to deal with this horrible reality. It's like, well, no, you master this reality by mastering it, like not by escaping it.
Yeah.
So you gotta experience what it's like to feel all these emotions and to be hurt by somebody or to be whatever, so that you can transmute that and you can learn those lessons of what that is teaching you, what those seemingly negative experiences are teaching you. So hell is just a state, is just a state of being, but it's, you don't need to experience it. Some people, you know, you might need to experience a temporarily some hellish experiences until you get the lesson, then you don't need that anymore. It's kind of like, you know, many masters have said, suffering is necessary until it's not, right? So yeah, it's only necessary until you awaken to a point, and then you don't need to suffer. You don't need that lesson anymore. But it's really not necessary at all, you know?
Yeah. I think also we come here for one of those things you mentioned is to learn love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are living our life right now hating what we do, we hate the job, we're not happy in our marriage, or there's all kinds of shit going
on the list. Yeah.
The only way that you probably can avoid coming back and doing that over again is to learn love and forgiveness.
Yes.
And you got to change your thinking. Otherwise, You're coming back.
You're going to keep experiencing it over and over and over till you get it. And that's it. You just said it, love. It's like love is the ultimate reality. That's what God is. You hear people say God is love. Well, it's like, what does that mean? Well, let's think of it. So God is infinite energy, infinite conscious energy that we all at our true level, at the truest level, are that. And we're having a temporary experience. So the more we can connect to that energy and embody that energy, then we are embodying the energy of God. And there you go. Like, then you don't need to keep experiencing, you know, these things that are suffering and pain and horrible things. It's like, then you're going to start creating your own reality. Well, you're going to start creating consciously rather than unconsciously. When you're, the more unconscious you are, you're just kind of like stumbling through life and reacting to things. You're reacting to everything. You're in reaction mode, right? Because you're not conscious. Because you don't realize you're not the thinking mind and the physical body. That's just in reaction mode all the time. You start to expand and then embody that love, God energy. And now you can consciously choose how I'm going to react to when someone does something to me or says something to me or some unfortunate thing happens. I had realized, what is this teaching me? What can I learn from this? And how am I going to respond to this? Because I have a choice in that. And based on how I choose is going to base what is going to come after and what I'm going to experience.
Yeah. There's a saying out there, and that is that the answer is love. It doesn't matter what the question is.
Yes.
And exactly. There's something to that. And I have it from a solid authority that God is love. Because Albert Einstein, about a year before he died, he made the comment in an interview. And he said, I have studied, I even think I can quote this, I have studied the universe more than most. And I have found that it is all is made from the vibration of love.
Yep.
So take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it, because that is
yes
love. And anybody that has a near-death experience and gone through the tunnel and come back to talk about it, they all talk about the feeling of love.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. What is basically every near-death experiencer talks about, oh my God, like it was, they can't even describe it. They can't even put it into words of what they experience, because it's so far beyond this, we can physically translate, and especially into words, right? It's so far beyond. Love is the only thing I can describe it as, right? Like, it was just love, but love that you've never even like experienced. You can't even, you have to experience it to really know what I'm talking about. They all say that. They all say that reality is way more real than this reality. And we're like, wait, how can something be more real than this? Because all we think we know is this physical reality. So it's hard for us to imagine a more real reality than reality. What we think is, that's because this is a dream that you're currently in. But the second you awaken from that dream, just like I said, when you're having a dream, do you realize you're having a dream and that there's a greater reality? No, you're completely engulfed in that dream, and you're just, you think that temporarily you think that is your reality, right? Well, it's the same thing with physical reality until you die, but you can do it, but you don't have to die. And that's what near-death experiencers, they temporarily die, which they don't die. There is no death. Death is just a transition of your awareness from here to a greater reality.
Yeah,
and we have experienced that, and then they come back to the tiny one. They go, "Oh my God!" And they're trying to tell people, and like, you know, that's what Yeshua, Buddha, Krishna, you know, all the masters, Babaji, they all were trying to tell the world of the greater reality. And what happens when you do that? Well, some people are going to get it, but a lot of people are not. They're gonna misconstrue what you said. It's gonna filter through their ego. They're not going to believe you. Go down the list. You know, it's like until somebody experiences that, you really don't know what that means. But we can all, you know, we can all go on our own journeys to truth, the show, and figure out what reality is for yourself. And no one's going to be able to hand you, here is reality, here is truth. It like in a nice little package. You know, that's what religions do. That's what belief systems do. They try to hand you. You're the little package, like, just take it. Don't do anything for yourself. Here, just accept this package.
Yeah, that's what the Catholic Church doing to you. But I got another question for you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are now talking about this event that they see coming really soon. What do you see as being that event? Is that a quick thing that come and we all die, or some naysayers out there all over YouTube saying you're going to die in 2 weeks? I've seen that one.
Yeah, but or a solar flash or a pole shift or whatever. Yeah.
What do you see it is?
Ascend like that and then disappear? No, I don't. I personally, I mean, anything's possible. I don't claim to know everything, obviously, and there's a lot of stuff there's things I know I don't know. And then there's a lot that I don't know. But what I do know, and based off my experience and everything I know, I personally think it's not a one-time event. Like you just said, like, oh, in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years, there's going to be like this great ascension event and everything's going to change in a flash. I mean, it could happen like that. I personally don't see it that way, because that doesn't make sense to me. What makes more sense is that we are going through the event right now. It's currently happening, and it's an ongoing process. And this is what you hear the term ascension. Many people in the spiritual community, you know, they're always talking about ascension. Well, we are in ascension right now, and science has proven that the planet itself is ascending. The energy of the planet is is raising and ascending this human residence, not just our planet, but every planet in our solar system. And this is, you can look up the actual data. NASA's own data, by the way, proves this, that our whole, every planet in the solar system is, their energy is all speeding up, basically. And the storms and all the planets are getting greater and they're getting hotter. And that's what, like, people talk about global warming. Like, it's a man-made thing. It's not a man-made thing. It's a cycle. And and you go back throughout history, and it's a cyclical rising and cooling, right? Getting warmer and cooler. Well, yeah, we're on the end of that cycle where it is rising, because we are going through, the planet is ascending, and we're at the end of a great cycle, which is actually like three different cycles that are all converging right now. So, and by right now, it's not like, you know, it's all relative, because in a planet that's, you know, billions of years old, well,
yeah, and then
June could be 1,000 years from now, right? Or a couple thousand years. But I do think we are at a point in time right now where everything is kind of exponentially coming to a head, because you look at just 100 years ago and look at the technology we have now, look at the connection that we all have now, especially with the internet. Look at the awareness and the awakening that's happened just in the last like 20 years, let alone 100 years ago. It does seem like everything is exponentially increasing, and things are getting more chaotic, way more chaotic and crazy, as the old energies and the old system is like in its death throes.
Yeah,
because they're clinging on for dear life, and they're causing all this chaos. And the people that are stuck in those energies are kind of like getting all agitated and going crazy. At the same time that's happening, you see this beautiful awakening happening, and people are getting more spiritual. They're awakening. They're becoming more loving. We're forming more unity. We're becoming more conscious, right? It's like two realities, two very different energies are all getting more intense. And this is like, you hear people talk about the split, right? Like Dolores Cannon talked about the split, and there's like the old earth and the new earth, and people debate, is that a timeline split? Is that a physical split? What does that mean? Well, in my opinion, I view it as a timeline split, because there's multiple timelines. And you know, the energies, like if you have a whole bunch of people on the planet, all in a dense energy vibrating at that level, and then you have a whole bunch of people vibrating at a much higher level and a higher energy, at some point, as those get more intense, there has to be a split, because they physically won't be able to stay in the same location at some point. And that's science. That's actual science.
Yeah.
And that's the ascension that is currently happening. So I don't think it's a one-time event. I think it's happening right now. And I think it's up to, you know, it's really up to us to how it plays out and how rough it's going to be, or what physically is going to take place and how it's going to look. But it's happening. And I think, you know, as long as you're awakening, I mean, if you're watching the show right now, you're on that ascension timeline, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're interested in any of this stuff and you're watching the show, you're there, you know. Otherwise, you would not be watching this right now.
That's right.
Listening to this.
I know that we got only 3 minutes left of the show here, but I want to tell you, though, that I agree with you on that, because I think we are in that projection of the event, but there may be smaller things in between that some people will consider, oh yeah, that was the event, like this thing that people put in their arm, you know, over the last couple of years.
That could be
the event for some people, and especially if they don't make it, definitely was that event.
But right.
On the other hand, I think it's going to take a little while to get through this raising of consciousness. And I see that we're getting close here. So talk to the people that joined us late a little bit about that book, that last book you have. I'll tell you, the title and what's in it, it talks to me.
Thank you. Yeah, I just released my first ever book. It's called Waking to the Infinite Universe. It's available on Amazon. For those of you who are watching this on YouTube, this is it right here. And basically everything we just talked about in the show is touched on in this book. And I also touch on UFOs and extraterrestrials. I talk about a lot of different ET experiencers and contactees and their experience. I talk about the divine universe and the conscious universe and the how we're all connected and they're all one, and the science that backs that up and that proves that we are more than this physical reality, that we are a greater consciousness, that essentially we're all the universe or source or God, whatever term you want to call it, experiencing itself through a point of awareness and having a temporary experience as a human being, but that, you know, most of us, in my opinion, all of us have had other experiences. Many of us have had many, many other incarnations and experiences, and this is just one of those.
Yeah.
And that the real you is not your body. The real you is an eternal energy that is connected to the infinite energy. There's no separation. So that's why I say you are God. You are that experiencing itself. And the real you, time doesn't actually exist. So your soul is simultaneously, you could think of it like a big ball of energy and then branches off of that, all simultaneously having different lives, different experiences,
yeah,
as things that are not human and other planets and other levels of reality, different forms, all at the same time, because time doesn't actually exist. The eternal now moment is all that actually exists. So everything is, there is no past life. There is no past or future. It's all happening now. We're just having the linear experience of that. So in my opinion,
What
we're talking about, what's going to happen in the future? Well, it's already happened, actually. We're just having the experience of, you know, it hasn't happened yet, because from our point of awareness, it hasn't happened yet, but it's actually already happened. Just as like a DVD, the whole DVD is there, right? But you're only experiencing it at a certain point in that, and then it goes along, right? Well, it's the same way with our experience in this plane of existence. We experience linear time, but it's all already happened. It's all, you are basically all that ever has been, ever was, and ever will be, having a conscious temporary experience of itself through a point of awareness.
Scientists coming out and say there's no scientific scientific evidence for the fact that time even exists. It is just a construct our mind is creating for us to be able to have experiences. So it is stretched out. But
Exactly.
This was so much fun. Maybe we could do this again sometime. This would be fun.
I would love that. We should totally do it again. This was a blast. Yeah. Thank you so much, Augie. This is
so much more to talk about.
Yes.
So, and for those out there watching us now, if you're on YouTube, if you like what you heard tonight, please subscribe and click the bell so you can hear when the next show is coming, because there will be some good ones. So in the meantime, thank you for being with us, Aaron. And I really enjoyed this. This was fun.
Me too. Thank you so much. This was a blast.
Yeah. And then until the next show, take care of each other. Well, we're done, Mac.
Yay. That was so much fun. Thank you so much. That was
Well, let's we'll just get off, and then we will talk to you later.
Yeah. Talk to you later. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.